from a beautiful Yankee stadium. In a couple of hours, you'll get the Yankee pregame show right here on WFAN, and then John Sterling and Susan Waldman will take it away. Game four of the Fall Classic between the L.A. Dodgers and the New York Yankees. Another guy who's in the building, I think he's about 500 feet away from us. You've been watching him on TV every day throughout the NLCS and now, of course, the World Series. His number is retired in our studios of WFAN, the great Alex Rodriguez. A-Rod, Tiki Barber, Evan Roberts, thanks for coming on, man.
What's up, Paul? How we doing?
We are good, man. It's a little chilly out here, at least for us sitting in the booth. I'm sure the guys on the field don't mind it, but we got to ask you the obvious question about Alex. I mean, about Aaron Judge, Alex, because you went through something similar. Obviously, not as profound as Aaron's has been in the postseason, but how can he get out of this slump that he's been in? Really, all of his postseasons.
Well, I think my biggest concern is always when it transfers from physical to mental. And I think we're on the latter part of that. To me, it seems like he's trying to do a little bit too much. He's trying to pull the ball, but he's late on everything. And one thing is someone who's, shorter to be late. But when you're 6'7", 282 pounds, it is vital to get that front foot on time. And he feels like he's in a rocket chair, meaning he's early on soft breaking balls, and he's late on fastballs, and that's called in between, and that's a bad place to be. For me, I would start thinking about tonight, can I have one moment or two moments to help this team win? And forget stats. Think about big moments.
Do you think, and Boone hasn't done it, but do you think a lineup switch for him would have been beneficial at this point?
I mean, you can say yes and no. I mean, look, the only real move to make there is to split Stanton and Judge and put Soto in the middle. That's a pretty drastic move, but it would have given a lot more protection to Aaron Judge. But at the end of the day, I'm also a guy that says, look, this is what got you here. Let it rip. Yeah. And I don't have a problem with that either.
Yeah, and I think Boone is going to take criticism, obviously, because of how he's not really changed anything, Alex. But, what can he say to Aaron Judge? Or is he saying anything to Aaron Judge? Or did you just leave him alone and hope that you hope for the best? But I feel like that's kind of passively not doing anything.
One of the things that helped me out a great deal when I was a Yankee was, George Steinbrenner would have the great old legends around, whether it's Reggie Jackson, Roy White, Willie Randolph, Lee Mazzilli, Larry Boa. These guys were like an institutional amount of wealth of knowledge that they would share with us. And when we struggled, like Aaron is struggling, you had these resources available to you 24/7. And I'm not sure who's around Aaron who has the type of experience that he needs to help him push over the top. And that's a very lonely place. You feel like you're on an island by yourself. I think that's a big issue as well.
This may sound like a dumb question. I know you don't work for the Yankees, but can that guy be you? Because we've talked about it, and I thought you struggled a lot less than Aaron has, because you were great in Seattle in the playoffs. You were great in the first round and a half of 2004. It's not like you had never performed in the playoffs. So, is it something where Aaron would have to come to you or the Yankees would have to come to you? Because you feel like the perfect guy to speak to Aaron Judge about this.
Well, look, I'm the last thing from being an employee of the Yankees, I'm always available. I like Aaron Judge very much. We have a very nice relationship, but I never want to overstep. I never wanted the people to overstep when I was playing. So that's a very delicate force. Tiki, it's like,
yeah, of course.
It's hard in the middle of a Super Bowl or, a big championship game for someone to try to come in and be hero. But I'm available 24/7. But Evan, to answer your question, I cannot tell you enough and underscore Reggie Jackson being in the clubhouse, guys like Yogi Berra back in the day, Lee Mazzilli. These guys are all champions. They're winners. But more importantly, they did it right here in New York in the biggest market in the world. And I'm telling you, fellas, it is hard to play here. And the Avalanche can go both ways. When you're doing well, you can ride it like he rode it all season long for a historic season. But when that Avalanche turns against you, it's equally as effective, and he's in the middle of that right now. And who in that clubhouse, who in that coaching staff can say the things that a Reggie Jackson or a Roy White or a Lee Mazzilli can? I'm not sure what the answer is to that.
Yeah, Alex, tell me if I'm off base, but we started our show talking about how Aaron Boone has played this whole season as if we're going to be okay. right? Just it takes some time. We're going to get there. It's all in front of us. We know the cliches that he uses. And there, it's not like there hasn't been a sense of urgency because they won a bunch of games and they ultimately won the division. And, you know, obviously they're here in the World Series. But it felt like this laissez-faire, we're going to be good because we're just good, and not a sense of urgency. And at some point, it gets really hard to just flip a switch. You know, and you get hit in the mouth like they have against the Dodgers these first three games, and now you're trying to flip a switch, and it's not as easy as it sounds just because you're great players or have a great team.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure if sometimes we overblame managers or underblame them, but at some point, what's obvious is that Andrew Friedman, the president of baseball operations for the Dodgers, they've built a locomotive. I mean, this is an incredible team. They're deep. They're sound. They understand winning. They do not beat themselves. They don't make all the same mistakes that the Yankees have made. And look, let's recall the season. While the Yankees were good, they weren't great. They were great at times, but they were awful. There was a part there in the middle of the season where for 6 weeks, they played as bad as any other team in baseball. And then they turned it around a little bit. We're seeing kind of that middle part of the Yankee season. We're seeing it at the worst time now. And that's unfortunate. But you know, is it an architecture issue? Is it a managerial issue? I'm not sure. But if the Yankees lose today at home, this would be one of the biggest embarrassments in decades.
No question. We're talking to Alex Rodriguez. Now, I was watching you guys the last few days, and you led the charge on this. The idea of, hey, you got to pitch Garrett Cole, you know, unless he's hurt and we're not aware, which I appreciate you saying that because I guess we don't know. All indications are he's healthy. But you said he's got a pitch. I completely agree with you. Who is that on? Is that on Garrett to tell Aaron Boone, give me the ball? Or is that on the manager to say, hey, are you okay to pitch on short rest? Who is that moron, in your opinion?
Yeah, you got to preface that, Evan, with, like, you have no idea if Garrett's hurt. And if he's even, like, 5% hurt, then you got to step way back and say, okay, you know, whatever I said, just throw it out the window. But if you are healthy, and Tiki, you know this better than anyone. You're never healthy this time of the year. Otani's yeah, right. Not healthy. But I got to tell you, the respect that you gain in that room by getting the ball when your backs are against the wall, where you're one loss away from going home, one of the great benefits of only throwing 88 pitches in game one is that you're fresh and ready to go in 3 days rest. I mean, in 09, CeCe, AJ, and Pettit threw on 3 days rest the whole month, and they were older. So, for me, you leave nothing. Look, the Yankees wish Otani was in the lineup. He's probably 50%. But I'll never forget the story when Tom Kelly, I believe in the 91 World Series, went out to see because Jack Morris at 50% is better than whatever deadbeat you're going to bring out there. And he was right. And he went on to win the game, and they went on to win the World Series.
Yeah.
But this is the time of year that you want to grab the bull by the horn and take the ball and say, let's go. I'll get you to game five, and, you know, the rest is on you guys. But let me do that for you guys.
Yeah. You know, Alex, let me back you up to something you said a little bit earlier, because I think it's important, especially when you are the man, like you were, like Aaron Judge is now. You got to want that moment, right? You got to know that it's going to be intense, it's going to be hard, and hardest thing you've ever done, but you got to desire it. You can't shy away from let somebody else do this right now. But in the biggest stages, the biggest players got to make the biggest plays, right? That's what you're paid for. And I think Aaron Judge is that, but we haven't seen that yet. And so it gets really difficult as a fan to evaluate him, you know, as one of the greats. You know what I mean?
Well, listen, I mean, coming into the series, the two things we talked about and that everybody was highlighting was, you know, the two Titans going up against each other, Otani against Judge, two guys that are going to run away with the MVPs, two guys that are competing to be the best players in the world and in the face of baseball. And I think combined, they have two hits together, so they haven't done much.
Right.
I think when you talk about, Evan, support cast, I talked about the importance of Reggie Jackson and Willie Randolph and all those guys. Also, if you look at the Yankee team and that lineup, anyone not named Soto or Stanton is hitting about 0.91 with a couple of RBIs. So you need a collective effort. The difference with the Dodgers, they have a diversified approach. 1 through 9, they're beating you. Edman won the MVP in the last round. Yeah. And look, let's be clear. The Andrew Friedman, the president of baseball operations for the LA Dodgers, deserves a lot of credit. For 10 years, they've had one of the most prominent offenses in the game. But they had a kryptonite, and that kryptonite was left in the pitching. What did they do? They went out and got the two Hernandez. They went Hernandez, and they got Edmund. And the rest is history. Now they don't have any weaknesses. And regardless of what happens today or tomorrow when this ends, I think a lot of questions are going to be on Brian Cashman. How do you address is not only Juan Soto, which is going to be a tall task, but is also what are you going to get on top of Juan Soto?
Yeah, because, I mean, you talk about Edmund. He's batting ninth today.
I know. What a postseason he's been. And like you said, he was a July acquisition.
Right.
It's a great move by Andrew Friedman. This is a weird subject for Yankee fans and certainly for you because no one wants to talk about 3-0-4. But is it a win? Is it two wins? What is it going to take for the Yankees to place that tiny seed of doubt in the Dodgers' minds with them currently having a 3-0 lead? But obviously that can change quickly.
It's a hard comp because even though we were beating them badly in the first three games, they still, in those middle games, if you go back, they scored 6 runs, 5 runs, 8 runs. They were still putting, runs on the board. And we knew on the back end they had Pedro, Schilling, and Derek Lowe waiting. I think one of the subtle plays, but probably one of the most significant plays that changed the trajectory of the series was in the eighth inning. Gleyber Torres makes a very lackadaisical, reach for that ball that Soto threw from the outfield. It allows Otani to go to third. He scores in the Mookie Betts sacrifice fly, and then the haymaker from, Freddie Freeman, and the rest is history, and here we are 3-0. But, protecting 90 bases, doing the little things, in October, they get magnified.
It's one thing you talk about the lineup that Freeman has built, and Freddie Freeman is banged up, and he's limping around, and it's like he has that clutch gene that you just need on a team like this. And I feel like the Yankees don't have that. He's not at the super height that he used to be at, Alex, but he is just – he's clutch.
He's clutch. And, look, he has one thing in common with some of the members of the late 90s Yankees run, whether that's Paul O'Neill, Chuck Knoblauch, Tino Martinez, Derek Jeter, Bernie Williams. These are guys that did two things very, very well. One, they made great contact. They didn't strike out.
Yeah.
And two, they hit elite pitching. And Freddie Freeman does both as well as anybody. This whole idea that you can just swing and miss. If you're doing that during the season, imagine when you're playing the elite pitchers in October. You're going to just put, 2X in those strikeout numbers.
You can watch Alex on Fox tonight, pre and post. We appreciate you coming on tonight, Alex. Thank you very much, man.
Appreciate you, Alex.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There is the great A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez. Yankees-Dodgers game 4 tonight. A game you'll hear right here on The Fan. One of the voices you'll hear is Susan Waldman. She'll join us in a couple of minutes. Plus, Sean Morash will try to exercise some demons with the New York Yankees a little bit later on as well. And more of your calls at 888-808-1019. We are live from Yankee Stadium right up until 7:25 and the pregame show.